So with the exception of enlightened beings, all beings experience mistaken appearances all the time, day and night, even during sleep. Woo, that's us. So we've got mistaken appearances. What does this mean? So whatever appears to us, whatever we see, hear, taste, touch, smell, or think about, whatever appears to our mind, we perceive it as existing from its own side. It appears to us as if it exists over there. This is mistaken appearance. You've got it now. I appear to be sitting over here, don't I? There seems to be a gap between your mind and me. There isn't. In reality, there's not. There's not. There's no gap. But we don't get that at all. We just don't get that. And this is consequences. We have suffering and problems. So, for example, the thing we grasp at most tightly is ourself. We perceive our I and ourself and our mind as being inherently existent. What does that mean, inherent existence? If a thing had inherent existence, it means, the word inherent gives the clue, it means it would exist within itself. In other words, it would have no relationship with anything else. It would simply be an object that existed forever. It would never change. It would never change. And it would have no connection with anything else either. It would simply be inherently existent. Now this way of existing is what we're believing in all the time. But this way of existing is something completely impossible. When we analyze correctly, we'll see. Everything exists independent upon something else. Everything is dependently related. Everything's related to something else. Including you, including me, our bodies, all these phenomena. But that isn't the way we perceive things. We perceive everything to be discrete and isolated, separate and different and inherent and out there. A massive gap between our mind and these objects. We don't feel that our mind is in any way involved in bringing these objects into existence. We feel they're just there. I just came to this temple and it's just here. Well, no. This temple is an appearance to our mind. How do I know that? Because later on it will disappear. The only things that can disappear are appearances. If something existed inherently, it could never disappear. Anyway, sorry, I'm going a bit deep here. But it's really important that we get this eventually. The whole book, all of Buddha's teachings go in the same way. Finally, we get enough merit in our mind, a good fortune through listening to these teachings, that we begin to understand this. So that's why I need to repeat it often. Even if you've heard it many times, we all need to try to understand how enlightened beings perceive, how they see. They don't see what we, well, they do see what we see, but they're looking, that's wrong. They perceive things as they really are, as mere appearances to mind. But we perceive I and mind to be inherently existent. I'm inherently existent, you're inherently existent. And what does it say? Due to this, we perform many, many inappropriate actions that lead us to experience suffering. As I said before, because we perceive certain things as attractive, you know, I'm attractive, you're attractive, let's get together. I'm attractive, you're not attractive, get out of my life. Isn't it? We know. So this is where the delusions of uncontrolled desire and anger come from. Uncontrolled desire to have the things that we find attractive. Anger to push away the things we don't want, to destroy, to kill and so forth. Anyway, it's only by attaining enlightenment that we can fulfill our deepest wish, to fulfill pure and everlasting happiness. Only that mind has this total freedom from mistaken appearances and consequently all the mistakes that come from mistaken appearances. Only enlightened beings have this. Nothing in our impure world has the power to fulfill our wish. When we become a fully enlightened Buddha, we will experience the profound and lasting peace that comes from a permanent cessation of all delusions and their imprints. We'll be free from all faults, all mental obscurations. We will possess all the qualities needed to help all living beings directly. We will be an object of refuge for all living beings. So anyway, maybe you need to think about this. Through this understanding, we can clearly see the attainment of enlightenment itself is the ultimate supreme goal, the real meaning of our precious human life. Since our main wish is to be happy all the time and to be completely free from all faults and suffering, then we need to develop a strong intention to become enlightened. We should think to ourselves, I need to attain enlightenment, because in this impure world of samsara, there is no happiness, there's no pure happiness. I need to become enlightened for myself. That's the attitude of a solitary realizer. But we need to have that thought first of all, I've got to do this for myself, and then I'll help others, of course.